Americans have a hard time taking a day off. Have you noticed this? Have you experienced this personally? Americans have a hard time taking a day off. I'm seeing some knowing glances. I'm seeing some couples who are staring at each other and going, you are. You know you are. Chances are, if you are married, that you're probably married to someone who has a hard time taking a day off, because 55% of Americans, according to Oxford Economics, 55%, just over half, of Americans who have paid vacation. And if you understand this concept, it's pretty great. Your company pays you not to go to work, okay? Isn't that brilliant? They don't want you there. They want you to get a break. But 55% of Americans that have paid vacations don't use all of their days off. A total of 658 million paid vacations went unused in 2015. 222 million of those days off could not be rolled over to the next year, could not be cashed in for money, just wasted because people didn't feel like they could take a day off. Oxford Economics estimates that Americans forfeited $61.4 billion in vacation benefits in 2015. I don't know about you, but I can't afford to lose $61.4 billion in vacation benefits. And yet, more than half of our country does. Why? Why do we have a hard time taking a day off? 80% of people feel like they can't take a day off because they don't feel their boss is supportive of them actually taking the vacation benefits that were promised to them. 37% say they don't want to return to a mountain of work. 30% believe that no one else can do the job. Oh, that's dangerous. That's self-idolatry, folks. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. 30% say they cannot afford a vacation. I have a lot of sympathy there. 28% say that taking time off will hurt their career advancement. Ouch. 22% want to show complete dedication to the job, and 19% don't want to be seen as replaceable. What's your reason? I mean, more than half of us, right? Someone here has to relate to one of those. Working on your day off is a badge of honor in America, which makes today's story from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, so really hard to understand. Because we think it's a good thing when we don't take a day off. But in Jewish society, they would say that is a bad thing if you're not taking a day off once a week. If you're not taking your Sabbath once a week, something is seriously wrong with your spiritual life. In today's story, Jesus gets into an argument with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law about the fifth commandment, which is, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's not just in the top 10 list on God's 10 commandments. That's top 5. That's ahead of don't murder. Okay? It's ahead of don't murder. And so Jesus gets into this argument with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they say, the way we're going to protect the integrity of the Sabbath is we're going to add all these rules to make sure we don't mess it up. And then Jesus shows up and says, no. You're missing the whole point here, friends. The point is you need to get fed on the Sabbath. You need to get healed on the Sabbath. That this one day a week is your chance to start over and do it again. So let's turn to the story, shall we? Luke 6, verse 1 through 11. About two different Sabbath days and two different arguments about what this whole day off thing is supposed to be. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some grain, some heads of grain, to rub them in their hands and to eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, or said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or evil, to save life or destroy it?" He looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. God's word. So I went to North Park University in Chicago. You might have noticed that George the Monkey is wearing his North Park University sweatshirt this morning. I went to North Park. I bring it up today because North Park, this great Christian school on the north side of Chicago, is right next to a Hasidic Jewish neighborhood. Now, if you've been in Washington your whole life, you might not even know who the Hasidic Jews are. They wear dark suits. They wear dark hats. They wear a yarmulke, a little cap on top of their heads. The men grow really long beards. Sometimes they have earlocks that dangle down as a symbol of their faith. The women dress rather conservatively, sometimes with a scarf on their head. And right next to North Park is a yeshiva, where the young men study the Hebrew Bible until it's time for them to get married. I knew a couple of the kids, some of the guys from the yeshiva down the block. Those guys, they had the Bible memorized, the Hebrew Bible memorized. Kind of blew our minds. Some of us who were still reading the Old Testament all the way through for the very first time, just blew our mind that these kids, they knew every word, okay? They knew all the rules. They knew all the regulations. I bring it up today because I want to talk to you about what great neighbors they were, especially on the Sabbath, because our neighborhood got so peaceful and it got so quiet between sundown on Friday night and sundown on Saturday night. The community changed because our neighbors took the Sabbath seriously. When the sun went down on Friday night, things got quiet. There was no traffic from our neighbors because you don't drive on the Sabbath. And there was no bike riding on the Sabbath. And you would walk through the neighborhood and the lights would be gone. They'd be turned off and there'd be no TV and you'd hear no radios and you'd hear no telephones because you don't use electronic devices on the Sabbath. The kosher Baskin Robbins down the street, a favorite place to go, grew really quiet on Friday nights because you don't scoop ice cream on the Sabbath. You don't do business on the Sabbath. While the rest of Chicago was boisterous on Friday night and on Saturday morning, our neighborhood was strangely peaceful. Now, I admired how my Hasidic Jewish neighbors followed the rules. They took the Sabbath way more seriously than the Christian kids did, right? They would walk together as families, dressed to the T's, going to the synagogue on Saturday mornings. They would walk, not drive. They'd all walk together, even in the coldest weather. It was beautiful to see these people get dressed up and go to worship God. Me, on the other hand, well, I would wake up at 10:45 a.m. on Sunday morning and run to the 11 o'clock worship service, hopefully with a clean shirt on, maybe, just maybe, right? My friends at the yeshiva, they could read on the Sabbath, but they could not write, and they could not erase. But at North Park, we would shut down our library on Sunday night, but not the computer lab, so we could stay up late writing our papers and erasing our papers on those computers. No one at North Park was looking to add more rules to their lives. But we had to admit, you know, our neighbors, they took this Shabbat, the Sabbath thing, way more seriously than we did. Today's story is about the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees on the best way to celebrate the Sabbath. The Jewish people were keenly aware that they were not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but there was still a lot of confusion about what constituted work. And so the Pharisees had 39 additional rules to the Bible that they added to bring clarity to what it means not to work on the Sabbath. These are the same 39 rules that inform modern Hasidic and Orthodox Jews today. Okay, 39 additional rules. As one rabbi put it, the rules about the Sabbath are like mountains hanging by a hair, for the scripture is scanty, but the rules are many. Can you imagine Mount Rainier hanging by a hair? Can you imagine Mount Baker hanging by a hair? Instead of just saying, don't work in the fields on the Sabbath, the Pharisees said, no sowing, no plowing, no reaping, no binding, no threshing, no winnowing, no grinding, no sifting, and no baking, just in case things were unclear to you. Don't work in the fields on Saturday. Instead of just saying, don't make clothes on the Sabbath, they got real specific. No shearing, no cleaning, no combing, no spinning, no sewing, no tying, and no untying knots on the Sabbath. In case you're keeping score at home, that means don't untie your shoes on the Sabbath. Instead of saying don't build stuff on the Sabbath, the Pharisees added no writing, no erasing, no construction, no demolition. These were all helpful rules to keep the Sabbath holy, but they came from human beings. They didn't come from God, okay? Helpful. You want to keep your Sabbath pure? You can follow those rules, but remember where they came from. Humans, not from God. The Pharisees, so as the disciples and Jesus were walking through the fields, the disciples apparently grabbed a few heads of grain and they ground them in their hands to separate the seeds from the chaff, and they popped them in their mouth for a little snack. Now, when Americans hear this story, they go, whoa, aren't they stealing? The answer is no. They were not stealing. It was perfectly acceptable. They had different rules about trespassing and about personal property in the ancient world. Americans don't get this. So let me just unpack it real quick. It was perfectly acceptable to walk in your neighbor's yard and pick an apple from their tree and munch it while you're walking through their property. Just don't take a bunch with you. Okay, it actually says in Deuteronomy, it says, if you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat all the grapes you want, but do not put any in your basket. Okay, this is what people believed. Now, Americans would freak out. If you had someone walking through your yard eating your apples, you might get upset. Well, very different. They weren't stealing. What they were doing was perfectly acceptable, except it was the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees accused the disciples of reaping and threshing and winnowing and preparing food on the Sabbath. That's like making a federal case over a very small infraction on the Sabbath. They were hungry. They needed something to eat. So Jesus, he tells the Pharisees this story about David. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before, but David, before he had the throne of Israel, was sent on a secret mission, and he said, I need some food for me and my men. And so he asks for some food. The only food available is consecrated bread. Bread reserved for the priests of Israel. No one else is supposed to eat it. But David said, no, 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 no. Give me the bread. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to give it to my men. And Jesus is saying, just as David was the Lord of the consecrated bread, that he, the son of David, he is taking authority over the Sabbath. He's saying, I am the guy who's in charge of deciding what's allowed on the Sabbath. If you're questioning me, you're questioning David, because I am his son, is his point. And his point is that the Sabbath laws should not restrict our normal day-to-day behavior. It's okay to untie your shoes on the Sabbath. It is okay to have a scoop of ice cream on the Sabbath. Can I get an amen? You do not need to feel guilty about driving to church this morning. You do not need to feel guilty about going and getting a bite to eat this morning. Some people here at Bethany Covenant Church, some people think it's even okay to watch football on the Sabbath. Can I get an amen? Yes. Some people think that behavior is okay. God invented the weekend. You ever thank God for giving you a weekend? God invented the weekend to set you free from oppressive rules, not to give you a mountain of expectations hanging by a hair. It's to set you free from the weekly grind. Now, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he wants to feed your souls on the weekend. Ideally, your weekend should have a balanced diet, right? I hope you make time to sleep in this weekend. I hope you make time to take a nap this weekend. I hope you make time to go to bed early, to put the kids to bed early, to go to bed early sometime, to sleep on the Sabbath. Are you sleep deprived? God gave you this day so you wouldn't be sleep deprived. Right? Spending time with your family and friends should also be a priority. The weekend is usually my best chance to get some exercise. I don't know about you. I played a little tennis yesterday. Right now, I'm coaching soccer on Saturdays because it's also good to give back to the community on your day off, to take out of your abundance and give to others. I take Mondays off, so one day I can guarantee just about to protect. I go hiking on Mondays most of the time. I get to pray. I get to talk to God. I get to listen to God. Mountains are a really good place to do that. Going on a hike is a really good thing for me. I want to thank you for making worship a priority this weekend in your life. It's important to gather in Christian community to sing praises to God. Thank you, worship team, for teaching us to sing God's praises this morning, right? It's good to hear God's word. I mean, seriously, when's the last time you actually thought about the Sabbath? I mean, before today. Really, when was the last time? It's good to open up the word and go, oh, wow, I can learn something from the Bible today. I don't want you to hear these gentle suggestions as a new set of rules, as something that's going to oppress you and imprison your weekend and make you go, oh, there's another thing I got to do. No. The point is, these are things that might feed your soul. Is your soul hungry? How can God feed you this weekend? On another Saturday, Jesus was preaching in the synagogue, and the Bible tells us that some Pharisees and some teachers of the law showed up to spy on Jesus. Now, there's no sin. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't spy on people during the weekend. But if you just start showing up like, oh, I'm going to pay attention to what this guy says, make sure there's no heresy in it this morning, you know, if that's your focus, guess what? Your focus is in the wrong spot. He wasn't, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, they showed up to church to spy on Jesus. They got their priorities mixed up, right? They weren't there to hear the word. They were there to make sure that Jesus didn't do their great fear, which was that he might heal on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they weren't heartless. I mean, we shouldn't treat them as the bad guys of the Bible. They were just very sincere and very confused about how things were supposed to go down. They believed it was okay to heal on the Sabbath if it was a life and death situation. If someone's choking to death, by all means, use the Heimlich. If someone's having a heart attack, by all means, call 911 on the day you're not supposed to use the phone. But if it could wait a day, come on, Jesus, just, you know, heal the guy tomorrow. Right? I mean, the guy's got a withered hand. How long has he had a withered hand? A month? A year? 5 years? He can wait one more day. Come on, Jesus. But Jesus says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Not the Pharisees, not the teachers of the law, not human beings, certainly not me, certainly not you. Jesus says, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. And if he wants to heal someone on the Sabbath, he is going to heal someone on the Sabbath. Jesus asked the crowd, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or do evil? What's the answer? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm a little deaf in this ear. Good. Do good, right? It's okay to do good on the Sabbath. And then he says, is it okay to save life or destroy it on the Sabbath? What's the right answer there? Save. To save life. It's okay to do good. It's okay to save life. It's okay to do the right thing on the Sabbath. And so Jesus basically says to the man with the withered hand, raise your hand if you want to be healed. What? And it's healed. He didn't lay hands on the man. One time, Jesus healed the guy by spitting in the mud, grabbing the mud and putting it in the guy's eyes. He doesn't do any of that. He just says, raise your hand if you want to be healed. What? He doesn't work. He doesn't labor. There's no sweat involved. It's just the guy's hand works, because not only are we supposed to get fed on the Sabbath, we're supposed to get healed on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is our day, not just for recreation, but recreation. Now, our Jewish brothers and sisters, they celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. That's what makes sense in the Old Testament. We Christians move the Sabbath to Sunday. Why did we do that? What's the deal with that? I'll tell you. Ever since the resurrection of Jesus, ever since Jesus on Easter Sunday rose from the dead, Christians have been gathering on Sunday instead of Saturday, because this is the day of recreation. Saturday, it's the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week, and it's about the day of creation. It's like God in Genesis 1, verse 1, that God is getting busy in the world. God is getting active in the world. God is doing creation work. And we gather on Sundays to say, we're new creations too. That God is doing something new in me. That God is doing a healing act in me who wants to be healed this morning. I do. I want to be healed this morning. And so here we are. Do you believe that you're going to be healed this morning? Do you have some sin in your life that has a hold on you? Don't raise your hand on that one. Otherwise, we'd all be raising our hands, if we're honest. Are you having trouble forgiving someone this morning? Someone who hurt you long, long ago, and you just can't let go because this hurts still. Are you sick? Are you mourning? Are you scared to death? Do you feel all alone? Come to the Lord of the Sabbath for restoration and recreation. New beginning. Jesus will forgive your sins and Jesus will teach you mercy. Jesus will heal your diseases and redeem your life from the pit. Jesus will give you the hope of eternal love and Jesus will surround you in Christian community. A new sense of love. No one needs to be alone. Sunday is the weekly reminder that God is busy making us into new creations. God does not want to force feed you on the Sabbath, but he wants you to feast upon his grace and take a little rest. God does not want to force your hand on the Sabbath, but he's inviting you, come, take advantage of this healing that I have prepared for you on this day of rest. Today is Sunday, but Monday is coming. And God wants you to show up in the real world like you got fed today, like you got healed today in the presence of God. My friends, I don't know if you need a nap today. I don't know if you need a walk today. I don't know if you need to spend some time praying today. I don't know what it is that you need today. But what I'm inviting you to do is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy by getting fed and getting healed, by getting close to God Almighty. Can you do that? Amen.